The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Just to reiterate, as Simon mentioned in the news, the Curragh Road in St John's is closed between the Hope and Ballacrane. You'll need to use an alternative route. There was a collision there earlier on, and Manx Utilities say engineers will need to interrupt the electricity supply in the area, with repairs taking at least 6 hours. Well, that was this morning around 10:30, so we should say about 4:30 this afternoon. Everything should be absolutely fine. A quick note for Hi Deborah in Santon, who wants to know for her friend Pauline in Peel that Peel to Craigneish bus service, the 8S. When does it start? Well, it's going before the Road Transport Licensing Committee on the 29th of this month, that is, i.e. tomorrow. Well, if it doesn't go tomorrow, it'll be the 7th of August. So the Peel to Craigneish service via the airport, Port Erin and Port St Mary is due to be heard by the Road Transport Licensing Committee tomorrow or the 7th of August. And when we know then, it will all be decided as to whether it, when it runs and when it starts running. So hi to Pauline and Deborah. Now you know. Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? Just on the tea cakes today. How's things?
Very good.
I was always wondering, why didn't the Jerby Airfield thing ever take off?
The Jerby Airfield?
Well, it was Andreas or Jerby. I mean, either of the two would have done, but why didn't they get a sorted?
Well, to do what?
To have a third second airfield.
A second airfield? Crikey, can you imagine? Yeah. We haven't got enough air traffic controllers for one.
Well, I mean, they've got the option, haven't they?
Well, there was a rumour that it could be used, but I mean, crikey, can you imagine? Too? And what about all the traffic going to Jerby? Wow!
Yeah, but at least, you know, it's within reason, though, isn't it? I mean, they do private flights up there and stuff, don't they?
From Jerby?
Well, the planes come in and they do Andreas and Jerby. They come in and they land and then take off again, don't they?
Well, Andreas, the gliding club is based at Andreas. I don't know how often it meets or how they tug the I think they tug the gliders up at Andreas.
Are they meeting any time soon, do you know? Have they got a website?
Andreas Gliding Club?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, no, but I'm sure there'll be a Facebook thing or something like that.
I'll have a look. All right, no worries, Andy. See you later.
All right, 12:10. There was some talk last week, because Ozzy Osbourne died, that there's a petition in Birmingham that they want to rename Birmingham International Airport Ozzy Osbourne International Airport. Can you imagine? Now, there are obviously precedents for this, in that in England, Liverpool Airport, Speak Airport, is now John Lennon International, and in Belfast, it's George Best Airport. But we started it on the Isle of Man years and years ago. I think it was in the 1930s, if not before. But talking of airports, and not just Jerby or Andreas, Hall Caine Aerodrome. In fact, you can still see the sign if you're heading on the Jerby Road. Hall Caine Aerodrome, named after the one-time MHK, and at the time, I think it was the most successful author in the world at the turn of the century. Hall Caine Aerodrome. Maybe we should restart it. Mark Cavendish? I think we've talked about that before. Oh, Beastie's on now. Hi, Beastie.
Hello. I'm still laughing. If anybody is low or feeling a bit glum and wants an uplift, get to Ramsey and walk up the street and look in the shop windows.
What is there? What's there?
Well, I think it's the Man in Art group is celebrating something this year. How many years they've been founded, I think it's 70 years or something. And in conjunction with the shopkeepers and some of their really, really talented artists, there are original paintings in a lot of the windows. And the paintings are based on well-known paintings, but they're all based on Thomas the Tank Cat.
Oh, really?
So you've got Thomas with a bandaged ear. Thomas in a northern industrial town with lots and lots of other people and cats, all very stick-like.
Right, so we've done Van Gogh and we've done Larry.
You've got Thomas wandering the streets of Paris. You've got him gazing up at I think this one's called, they've all got titles, obviously, and I think this one is called Starry Thomas, and he's gazing up at a very swirly sky. It's just, Andy, it's so funny.
Oh,
I'm still laughing now.
How fantastic. And which group did you say it is? The Man in Art group?
It's the Man in Art group, and if anybody is listening to do with them, they will phone up and tell you all about it. But it is so clever, and it's so local, you see, because of course Thomas was given the free cat of the town, was it last year?
Yes.
So everybody knows Thomas, and to have these original paintings that are very cleverly done and displayed in the shop windows, you have to search for them, but they're just so clever, so amusing, so local. It's so Manx, isn't it, Andy?
Well, 10 out of 10 for that. That's a fantastic initiative.
Absolutely. So it's, if you're feeling low, just get it there. I didn't spot a Frida Kahlo. That might be going a bit too far.
Oh, I see. No Andy Warhol or anything like that.
And there isn't one, I haven't spotted it yet, of Thomas spending a pound note.
Oh, crikey.
There isn't one of those.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Beastie, we appreciate it. Thanks for lightening our day today.
Get up there.
All right, cheers now.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. 13 minutes past 12. And Charles of Charles Guards on now. Hi, Charles.
Hello, Andy. Well done on the whole cane. I'd never thought of that. That's very clever. We have beaten them all on that. Anyway, it's the planning issue I wanted to just briefly mention to you. I was at the planning committee this morning speaking on behalf of the president of Tynwald about the Godred Crovan statue that they want to put up at St. John's.
Yes.
I'm delighted to say the committee unanimously approved it, which wasn't what we were expecting, and I'm very grateful for that. I thought they all made some very sensible comments, so very sympathetic. That's not my issue. The issue is the whole planning process, because last Wednesday, the agenda for today was published online, and the agenda for today's meeting is 134 pages long. So the committee have had to read all of that. And amongst that was 14 pages from the planning officer recommending to the committee they refuse our application. 14 pages. And of course, that's the first time I saw that. And when I questioned today, when was I supposed to have the opportunity to respond to that? There is no opportunity to respond. I was allowed to speak for 3 minutes. Those of us who had anything to say at the meeting today are allowed to speak for 3 minutes. There's a timer goes up on the screen, and when you utter your first word, it starts to count down, and you're cut off after 3 minutes. Now, how do you respond to 14 pages in 3 minutes? But before I spoke, there was a late email quote from Manx National Heritage, who of course are objecting to this statue. I mean, this is a heritage project, so you'd expect MNH to object to it. That was read out, two long pages. And how am I supposed to respond to that? This is a completely unfair system. I took some legal advice last week, and the lawyer told me about a standard legal procedure, and it's in Latin, audi alterum partem, which simply says it's a fundamental legal principle that all parties involved in a dispute or facing potential adverse actions must be given a fair opportunity to present their case, and here's the important bit, to respond to evidence against them before a decision is made. So having a hostile email read out just before you're about to speak for 3 minutes, or having 14 pages online from the officer saying don't approve this, a few days before we are allowed to speak, it's just nonsense. This is not run fairly. It should be run on the basic legal principles.
And so, by the sound of what you're saying, it sounded fairly adversarial. Obviously, they'd recommend a refusal. I think they said, what was it, the scale, verticality and illumination and what have you. So give us a précis then, Charles. What did you say in 3 minutes?
Well, of course, the officer was saying that you must preserve the horizontality of the site. And I pointed out it's a bit late to worry about that because there's a stonking great church spire at one end of the site. And M&H were saying, oh, well, you need to do a geophysics survey. And I pointed out that a geophysics survey has already been done, paid for by Manx National Heritage. So why were they saying that we needed to do one? And it gives a completely clear bill of health. There is no Viking grave under this small area of grass. So I just went through that and how important it is that, you know, outside Westminster Parliament in Parliament Square, there are 12 statues celebrating the advent of their democracy. To have one Viking statue here would be a very fine piece of public art. And I'm very pleased that the committee saw, they came to that conclusion themselves. They were very, very positive about it. It's just the principle. It's not the committee's fault. The gentleman who was telling me I should have sent an email in, he's also trapped in the system. The system itself, which is what they have to work to, is wrong. And I think it needs a serious review. And I'm going to ask some members of Tynwald to do it. If they don't, then I will get some people together and we will go for a petition of dolience to the High Court and ask them to look into the process of our planning, because this just isn't fair.
OK, so as you say, you were opposed by the planning committee, the Manx...
No, the officer. The officer, not the committee.
Manx National Heritage objected. And what about German parish commissioners? What did they have to say?
There was only one other objection I'm aware of, which was a local resident who said if you put a statue up, you'll be turning it into a theme park, which possibly is a bit of an exaggeration. It's not going to turn into Alton Towers. There are no rides. It's just one statue in the corner.
So with a fair wind, when will King Ori be in St John's?
Well, the statue's already made. There were some planning conditions. We have to wait 21 days because, of course, M&H could now lodge an appeal. We don't know what's going to happen. I should just say before anyone comments, the statue, the whole bronze has been created without using a penny of taxpayers' money. There's no public money in it at all, nothing from the Arts Council or from Culture Vannin or from anybody else. The president has spent a year raising private funding, and so it's really something to be very proud of, I think. And, of course, Steph and Darren, who've done it, you've seen their heron down at Castletown. It's a stunning piece of artwork. It's a very, very high-standard public art, and I'm very glad the members of the committee also saw that that was the value as well.
Why were Manx National Heritage against it?
Well, there was a telling line in it. They say, we have not been consulted on this.
And
I suggest that's probably part of it. They went on about the Milky Way and a whole range. You need to read their stuff online. It was all completely irrelevant. But the fact that they said you needed the geophys when one has already been done, we found very puzzling. And I think the committee were slightly puzzled about that as well.
Was it always the way, Charles, that you only had 3 minutes to counter this? Is that the same with anybody?
It's with anyone who is allowed to register to speak.
Right.
Yes.
3 minutes.
Look, I was on the planning committee in the early 90s. We didn't do anything like this. We had a process called a review. If your planning application was turned down, you could ask for a review, and you came in front of the committee, and you spoke, and we discussed it all, and we sorted it all out long before it goes to appeal. That's all gone now. If anyone is unhappy about the decision this morning, they have to take it to appeal, which means waiting a year with all the expense of an advocate or a planning officer on your side, all the rest of it. Yeah, 3 minutes. 3 minutes. You have to speak very, very quickly. I hardly drew breath. I practiced and timed it. That's no way to deal with 14 pages from an officer. Mm. It really isn't.
OK. Appreciate it, Giles. Thanks for calling.
There we are. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. 21 minutes past 12. So King Ori will be with us. Well, apparently, if nobody else objects, there will be the statue of King Ori depicting King Ori with the sword sheathed, left arm outstretched, mounted on a plinth, inscribed with King Ori's name in Manx, in Gaelic, English and runes as well. And that will be next to Tynwald Hill. Andy's with us now. Hello, Andy.
Oh, hi, Andy. Two Andys together. How's it going?
Very well.
OK, I was thinking about airports and stuff. Yeah, Ossie Osborne. I don't think so. But, I mean, Ossie found a good friend with Randy Rhoads in L.A., didn't he?
Yes.
Who could play guitar and knew a good joke when to recount, you know. And he had the Ossie in stitches. But Ossie lent him his plane and he proceeded to circle around and then crashed it into his bloody roof, didn't he? Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was the end of a great relationship, a potential great relationship and a great future for the madman himself, you know. Will Pigs. Oh, I'm going to put that on again.
Wow. So do you think Birmingham should rename Birmingham International Airport Ossie Osborne Airport?
Yeah, yeah. After what I've just said, I don't think it's a terribly good idea. But then again, we've got John Lennon over there, haven't we? You know?
And George Best in Belfast.
Yeah, that's right, George Best in Belfast.
Yeah.
I've been playing the Beatles anthology recently, and it's absolutely... You can hear them giggling and debating songs, and, you know, it takes them a long while to come up with something, then suddenly it bursts into the long and wide, and then you think, oh, golly, golly, gosh, I remember that one, you know. So, I was around at Lucy's yesterday. I think I know what you mean. Do you know what I mean, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How the bloody... I've found out how the half lives now, Andy, you know. And they do live. And I was around at Robin Gibbs yesterday as well, also, you know, coming back from Peel. I've been to Peel three days on her own, you know.
Fantastic.
And my brother says, oh, there's Robin Gibbs' house. And I'd already been there and had a look around the ground floor anyway. And, you know, with Veronica Morris, Meditation, you know. And I was talking to a young fella there next to his Mercedes, you know, and he had a bit of a, I don't find that funny sort of face on him. He's about 25 or somewhere. Won't tell you his name. And I found out it was sold 8 years ago and it's been remade and remodeled all around, you know, it's not as it was. And that's the world we're living today, isn't it? If you go to Peel and you ask them, oh, you know, what was it, the established place, you know, that cafe as you go down top of Michael Street, you know, chairs packed one on top of the other, all gone. Simpsons, all gone.
Yeah.
Jack's, a good substitute, you know, but that's all gone. Anyway, I left when they started singing bloody Australian sea shanties, you
Very
know.
Good.
There was about 12 of them, you know, the Martin Perkins were leading the chant, you know.
Very good.
And I thought, I'm getting hearing aids in October anyway, so you know, I'm the same age as ours, you know. So,
well,
I'm having little health problems here and there. I'm going to Laxey Health Centre this afternoon. No.
Martin's probably still singing.
Excuse me?
Martin Perkins is probably still singing, even there.
Yeah, I stopped somebody on the street. I thought it was him, you know. I said, oh, Martin, you know, I couldn't make out what you were doing. And that won't do you any harm, and that won't do you. And roll, roll, roll the boat. I think it's South Australian, and that won't do you any harm. And that would, no, absolutely, it's not, it wasn't Pink Floyd, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after a while, I thought, blinking, I can't stand any more of this. And there were middle-aged women in the crowd, you know, probably, ooh, I think I could drop off with them, you know.
Okay.
You know.
All right. All right. Listen, Andy,
anyway,
I've got to go.
I exited at that point. Have a good show, Andy.
We could talk all day. Thanks for calling us today. The named airports. Thank you to Michael, who tells me the most famous named airport, of course, is John F. Kennedy International in New York. It's a bit of a ropey old airport, though, isn't it? Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, the big one. But anybody else named after? I'm sure there's a Ronald Reagan Airport somewhere in Canada, is there? Keith's on now. Hi, Keith.
Hi, good afternoon, Andy. How are you receiving?
You've got loud and clear. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Excellent. I would just like to say it's a great effort all round at the agriculturalist show at Orisdale Farm there yesterday. It was absolutely lovely and interesting, and the weather was on our side.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I was there on Saturday as well, walking around. Of course, it was judging day, so there were loads and loads of beasts down there, and it was a great day. It was we were very lucky with the weather last year, so fingers crossed it was all fine this year as well. So, yes, a great day. What did you particularly enjoy?
I particularly enjoy watching the equestrian horses, and it was quite interesting. The little ponies, and there were very large horses there as well that were jumping well. And also the vintage tractors, didn't realise there were so many in the Isle of Man. And of course, there's all the expensive heavy goods vehicles from a big commercial company on the Isle of Man, like, you know. It was a very good turnout.
Yeah.
And, of course, the livestock as well, like, you know, it was nice to see and all sorts. Right, I've just gone off the boil there from that one.
Okay, you didn't go in the bee tent, did you? The Manx bee tent?
About the honey?
Well, no, there was a bee tent there. I went in there. There was a woman with a long snake around her neck. So I ran out at the other end.
Oh, no, I didn't get that far. Well, I got around quite a number of places, like, you know. But one thing was great, like free car park and bloody great, Andy.
Well, that's it. And thanks to the Southern Nomads, the rugby team that were shepherding everybody around.
Yeah, just before you go, just another couple of little items about Derby Airport, Andreas Airport, I think that would be very, very too costly to build a new airport on the Isle of Man.
Well, all the people who tell me they know about aviation say that Derby is a far better place than Ronald's Way because it gets fogged up less.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a weather forecaster, and I can't comment on that. But we could get fog and rain and weather all over the place. Anyway, leaving that, just one more item before I go, please, sir.
Okay.
It's about the steam packet, which has had a breakdown with the Minannan.
Yeah.
Now, I'm livid about something here. I wasn't going on it. All right, breakdowns can happen. But, Andy, they have the spare boat lying there doing nothing. Why couldn't they just throw it straight in service? And, it's going to Liverpool. And the Bemba Cree, instead of the Minannan, is going to Liverpool. Why didn't they just throw it on that service and there'd be no hassle to people who wanted to go on the Minannan? All right, the Minannan's tired. It's getting past its sell-by day. But there's the Ben McCree lying there. They could have banged, walloped, thrown it straight into service for Liverpool.
Yeah, well, we've asked them for comment, and comment has come there none at the moment.
Well, I'll say it again, Andy. The Ben McCree was lying there, the poor thing. It could have been banged, put straight into service, and no any trouble to fair-paying passengers.
Okay, all right.
Okay, that's it for today.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Somebody sent in and told me, apparently, in Little Rock, Arkansas, the airport there is called Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. It's true. The Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi there. It's just a bit of curiosity on my part. This here new statue that they want to put up at St. John's.
Yeah.
Who's the model for it?
It wasn't you,
Not me. No, it could have been. I looked the right part. But the thing is, I'm saying I looked the right part. Nobody knows what the man looked like.
Oh, well.
There's no pictures of him as far as I know.
It'll be an artist's impression.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing, you see. And now we've got these two fellas playing chess outside the courthouse in Ramsey. Now, when they were created, I was told that there were two fishermen from Peel. Nobody knows what they look like, yet they create these things. Anyway, I've got a little bit of information, useful maybe.
Okay.
That I read in an old book about Vikings. Now, you know the Black Dog appeal.
Yeah.
I don't mean the cafe. I mean the story of the Black Dog. You know.
Yeah.
You see the Black Dog and it's bad luck and all the rest of it. Well, I was just thinking, I think that nobody seems to know anything about that, about the Black Dog. Now, I read in this book that the first thing that the Vikings sent off their boat was half a dozen vicious black dogs. And they were the first thing that went on land and attacked the people or whatever. And I'm thinking that's something to do with the legend of the black dog in Peel.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm thinking that might be it. The other thing I was thinking is, are we the only place in the world that celebrates getting our backside kicked by the Vikings? I don't know anywhere else.
One of those things.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Wolf, good to hear from you.
All right.
Cheers now. Thanks for calling today. Apparently, Martha says, Bari in Italy, the Bari Airport in Italy, is named after Pope John Paul II. It's Carol Wattia Airport in Bari in Italy. We went to the Southern Show, had a great time, but were disappointed there was no chance to buy good Manx meat products in the food tent. Texter 885. There was only one little pop-up banner and some people wearing black who made the excuse that they didn't have a display counter. It's no butcher. Bit disappointing, quite a depressing display. Where are all the lovely, colourful posters and banners that have showcased our great Manx meat? A missed opportunity, says C. The reason that we have an airport in the south, because it's equidistant between Douglas and Castletown for the fire crews. The airport doesn't have a standing fire crew. If we built an airport in the north, we'd have to have a standing fire crew, as the closest crew would be Ramsey. And if that one's tied up, the airport would be in real trouble, says Frank. Man in Art Group's exhibition at St. Paul's Square this week, every day apparently, says Daphne, as well as Beastie's information about the cat pictures being in shop windows in Parliament Street. The Man in Art Group in St. Paul's Church this week. In Funchal, it's Cristiano Ronaldo Airport. Of course, he's Portuguese. George Best Airport is in Belfast, says Marion. The Pearson Airport in Toronto, Canada, and John Lennon in Liverpool. Hall Caine in the north of the Isle of Man beats them all. We did it first. Andy dropped me a note. Just to say, we should bring back work experience, I say. It worked for me back in the 1990s in St Ninian's. I was thrown into Ballaclone School and data centre. I clicked with the computer stuff and had a job as soon as I left school, roaming some of the largest computers on the Isle of Man. Now I'm the IT coordinator for a 20,000 population municipality in the United States. I would never have got there without that work experience at the data centre. And also, regarding renewable energy on the Isle of Man, it's not hard. I don't know why the government's making renewable energy difficult. The Isle of Man government owns a lot of property on the Isle of Man. All you need to do is throw up some solar panels on some of the properties, change the meters, and feed it back into the grid. This can be done on properties that they own. It can be done incrementally and relatively inexpensively. And also, smaller wind turbines, particularly the vertical ones. They use those a lot in the south of Spain, in the mountains. Smaller vertical wind turbines can be used anywhere and everywhere to generate power. These could have been used all over the Isle of Man, residences and businesses, with minimal impact to anything. They could have actually lined the prom on Douglas and powered the lighting and more. Start with a few government-owned properties, open up the option for grants, etc., to make it more attractive for the private sector to do it too. Microgrids have been proven to work globally, whether it's a lot of smaller footprints generating and feeding into the grid, or a street or a community sharing local battery backups and reserves. It makes a lot more sense to distribute power generation, not load all of those eggs into one basket, minimalise the impact on the environment, and use existing infrastructure to feed into the grid, says Andy. All of this shows motion and interest from the government. It's easy progress. It's measurable and quantifiable. It promotes local experience. It promotes jobs too. Thank you, Andy.
NFU Mutual has supported the Isle of Man's agricultural shows for over 40 years. They're always great social events for the whole community and an excellent opportunity for us to meet you, our customers. So do come along and meet our friendly team at the NFU Mutual tent for a quote regarding your motor, home or business insurance. Look out for NFU Mutual at this year's agricultural show.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Taylorian Productions presents Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at the Gaiety Theatre from the 31st of July until the 9th of August. Step into a world of pure imagination when Charlie and the other golden ticket winners meet Willy Wonka for a tour of the place that dreams are made of. Featuring classic songs including Pure Imagination, The Candyman and more. Call the box office or book online at villagaiety.com. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
This Sunday, it's a special edition of Manx Radio's Chill Out Show, live from Meta Lounge in Peel. Join us between 7 and 9pm for laid-back summer vibes, drinks with a view and great food available. All served up at this relaxed beach cafe at the far end of the prom. Sink into the sounds, enjoy the sunset and let the weekend fade out in perfect style. The Manx Radio Chill Out Show on Sunday the 3rd of August from 7pm at Meta Lounge in Peel, where the vibe meets the tide.
Flocking to the sea.
Check Meta Lounge on Facebook for more.
Crowds of people wait for me.
The industry is not okay. The hotels aren't full and we don't need new hotels to...
That's Norman Mackie. Norman Mackie of the Ascot Hotel. He's calling for the creation of a minister for tourism, like we used to have. You remember David Cretney, Minister for Fun? A minister who would engage with the hospitality sector and assist in strengthening the hospitality sector. It comes after the Enterprise Minister, Tim Johnson, made comments in Tynwald claiming all the hotels on the Isle of Man are full all season. Well, the comments were met with, well, anger from some owners, and an apology was issued to the sector during a private meeting. So Norman Mackie from the Ascot Hotel.
The industry is not okay. The hotels aren't full and we don't need new hotels to complicate the system as the system exists at this moment of time. We are represented by the industry board and with due respect, they haven't got a clue what's going on here. Nobody's got a clue what's going on here. Only the hoteliers. We see the hotels closing down. We see problems within the industry, which are never solved because we don't have a Minister of Tourism. What actually happens is the girls who want to come from Europe to work over here for the summer, they can't get visas. At the moment, we're getting school kids in. It doesn't work out properly. The steam packer first, I mean, that's got to come into the equation. If the steam packer is owned by the Isle of Man people, which it is, not the government, the Isle of Man people, why don't we have a steering committee that looks into how the business is being run? Because at the moment, my wife has just come back from the UK on a £75 return. That's ridiculous money. This should be something like £35 return. We, the people of the Isle of Man, own the steam packer company. Why don't we have a say in how that company is being run? because if it's run by the tin wall, as we've already said today, God help us.
During TT, did you see the same amount of numbers that you normally see?
We were mad busy over TT, but the people who came here said the fares on the boats are astronomical this year. What's happened? And if we don't stop the steam packet doing what they're doing, this island will suffer greatly.
Well, that's Norman Mackey, and Norman knows of what he speaks. He's been running the Ascot and owning the Ascot for decades. The Enterprise Minister says he's going to correct and clarify comments he made in Tyndall with the members directly and said it was an overstatement and not accurate. He's taken the opportunity to apologise to those who contacted him, and the message was shared during a scheduled meeting last week. Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
How you doing, Andy? Well, I've been told that Alex Brindley has commissioned a statue of you to stand on Douglas Head, sword out of sheath, pointing at Broadcasting House.
That'll keep the seagulls away.
Well, it may do. But the planning have said it will undermine Sir William Hillsley's statue, so I don't know whether it's going to go ahead. just listening to Charles Scardon before about the planning, and I think Kell Development had the same problem with the Newsom site on the promenade. And I think they call it bureaucracy, don't they, Andy?
Well, 3 minutes doesn't sound like much, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think that they had the same problem. If you're trying to put a relevant case over, it's certainly a bit one-sided and not on the side of the person who's looking to do the development. I think Charles has got a definite valid point there. And listening to Norman Mackey, this is why I forced this question a few weeks ago, and I forced it a few times on government about the hotels. And I asked Tim Johnson this question the other week, hence why it's been brought up on the radio. And now the hoteliers have sounded off about it, which is great, because they're not giving good information out. And it's all right saying we apologise and we're going to correct it. It shouldn't need correcting. And this is, I said the same thing to Tim Krukor about overspending government. You've got a Department of Efficiency. You shouldn't have that overspend to start with. This is the problem that we've got. I'm glad that I've stirred it up a little bit, and hopefully the hoteliers will, back this up. And, again, the steam packet's been mentioned. So, back to the basics of the steam packet again and the prices. What did you think of the agricultural show, Andy?
Thought it was fantastic. Yes, I had a great time at the agricultural show. Liked it. I was a bit surprised by the woman with the snake round her neck in the bee tent. But apart from that, everything was absolutely fine. Noel Edmonds wasn't there. I thought he was going to be there again, as he was there last year.
Well, it's the only place that he hasn't been, isn't it, this year? He keeps getting spotted everywhere.
Apparently, I thought he'd come back for that odd shoe that he left there.
But again, the point was made there about no meat. And is the agricultural show not the shop window? Why was the department there not doing meats and stuff, because that's always been a big display in the past. So, with agriculture and farming, you thought that would be a shop window and an ideal opportunity for, the departments to come there and with their produce.
Well, that's because the meat plant has just got new management, hasn't it, recently? And we all know the fact that that farming is, is stressed at the moment, that a lot of the farmers are in straitened times, but they keep a smile on their face at the agricultural show. You wouldn't know there's anything wrong with the agricultural industry because they put on, well, guess what? A show. They put on a show. It's just a shame it isn't replicated, as you say, right across government.
And this is the point again. And again, I've been on this show about 2-3 years with Claire Barber talking about this and the future of farming and our sustainability. And it's important, and it's coming more to the fore now with what's happening in the UK with the amount of farms that's closing down. we could actually have a fantastic farming industry here, but we have to have the support, the proper support of government for proper farming. I'm not talking about weird, wonderful solar farming and every other type of farming that they think they're going to, you know, bamboozle us with. It's about actual farming, because this is important to our future, is the food on our table and the quality of food on our table as well. So, you know, they really need to get their act together on quite a few different items at the moment. But, yeah, I mean, the farmers put on a great display. It was a great show. It was a great day out. I just hope people go away with the importance of farming in their mind when they've gone away of having a good day there.
Okay.
And, again, just on that point of the leash of the abattoir, how many foreign butchers have they brought in there now, Andy, to run the abattoir?
Well, I think a few, by what we heard.
Quite a few. Again, the point, and I think David Quirk brings it up in different things, our training of our young people to do all this stuff, plumbing, electrics, butchery, and baking and confectionery now is another one that's fallen by the wayside of the college. So all these things, they're taking away the training for them. And this is where our young people can be educated. Not everyone's going to sit in an office and make money for rich people on computers. Some people want skills and they want to work with their hands. Mm. You know, this government should be there and making this college work and putting people in business over here to keep our island going in the future.
Okay, all right. June, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you, Andy.
13 minutes before one. Yes, Hall Caine Airport in Ramsey, just down between Ramsey and Jervey, was the first airport in the British Isles to be named after a person. First to be named after a person in the British Isles. Thank you, Paul, with all the information. And Hall Caine Airport was named in 1935. By Hall Caine's sons, Gordon Hall Caine and Derwent Hall Caine, who initiated the project. If you've ever driving between Ramsey and Jervey, on the right-hand side, you'll see a plaque on the wall, the British Airport. You know, the people who put the plaque on the promenade in Douglas on Central Prom to commemorate planes taking off and landing on the beach in Douglas. It's there. Take a photo. It's very, very notable. Just one of the many things that we are notable for. The many things on the Isle of Man that, well, we don't have a Hall Caine bit in the museum permanently. Hall Caine was massive. I mean, and of course he was connected with Alfred Hitchcock. The Manxman was made into a film by Alfred Hitchcock. Well, so what do you think about this? Here's Julian with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Well, terrific today, thank you.
Excellent. It's a strange thing going on with that talk about the hotels. If you've got actual people on the ground saying that the hotel businesses are not doing great, but there's all these hotels going up, you've got to wonder, what are the hotels going to be used for? Because it's clearly not demand then, is it?
Well, you never know. There's a saying, isn't there? There's always room for a good one. So it may be that, I mean, there's the new one that Mr. Lord's putting up where the old Salvation Army Citadel used to be. There's the Villiers Hotel. There's talk of the Sugarland being renovated. So, and of course, the one at the back of Marks and Spencer was put up. So we don't know. I mean, it may be that having better hotels and more modern hotels will actually drive demand. Whether or not people can afford to come on the boat, well, that's another matter.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, maybe they've got some other customers that can pay, you know, full rate and have full accommodation, maybe, but we just don't know about that yet, maybe. Just a quick one. Somebody mentioned earlier about solar on the island.
Yeah.
It's just worth remembering that the World Bank did a report which talked about the potential yield from solar panels, photovoltaic, so not the thermal tubes, but the ones that make electricity. Out of the 230 countries that were assessed, Ireland came in at number 230, so that was the worst, and 229th was the UK. They didn't just check the sunshine, but they also checked for terrain horizon, albedo, so the reflection of the clouds, module tilt, configuration, shading, and all the other factors that affect it. And they also, of course, you've got to consider if you start putting in DC electricity into an AC network, you've also got all the extra capital costs. So you've got things like synthetic inertia systems, which is why Spain and Portugal ended up with 50 million people suddenly going blank for a whole day. Hideously expensive battery storage systems. And on top of that, you've got to have a gas turbine waiting on standby for all the massive amounts of baseload that everyone needs, including the hospital to keep that running 24/7, government buildings, schools, and everyone else's homes.
Who knows where this is all going to end, Julian?
Yeah, but you can't beat physics, can you? If you're living in a place like the Isle of Man, where we're sort of in between northern bits making, you know, you've got the warm coming up from the Gulf Stream, you've also got clouds and stuff being formed from the cool coming down from the north, you're always going to end up with a place that's relatively cloudy throughout the whole year, and we live at 54 degrees north of the equator. So no matter how you slice it, the sun can only go so high in the sky. It's not like we're down in, you know, the Sahara Desert where you will get a lot more sun. And then you've got another problem with solar, which is if it gets too hot, especially the photovoltaic ones, they go worse because the circuitry suffers from the heat. And then you tend to find in places like the Sahara, it's not easy to cool it with water. Mm. So you've got all kinds of problems with solar, no matter where you are.
I'm trying to remember, who used to say that? You can't change the laws of physics.
Well, I should imagine Newton was one of them, and
It was Scotty, the engineer in Star Trek. You can't change the laws of physics, Captain. That's what he used to say.
That's right. I can't give you more, or whatever it was, whenever they were trying to go to warp 9 point something.
All right. Thanks, Julian. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Now's the time to make the most of the outdoors, so head to Riley's Garden Centre. Whether you're planting, pruning, or just relaxing in the sun, Riley's has everything you need, from garden machinery to tools and compost to outdoor furniture, barbecues and more. Transform your garden into your paradise with a little help from Riley's. Open 7 days a week on Cool Road, Braddon, or browse online at rileys.co.im. Riley's Garden Centre. Everything for the great outdoors.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern energy efficient living with ground floor underfloor heating and air source heat pumps, plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living redefined.
Welcome to the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Millichaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millichaps of Ramsey.
Check out the Groudle Glen Railway summer timetable for some great days out. Visit the Clifftop Tea Rooms and Sales Emporium, book a special steam tea and join our free family train spotting challenge. Hop on the line that goes uphill to the sea, the Groudle Glen Railway. For times, see ggr.org.uk or visit on Facebook.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639 940 for more information or visit qvhpremieroffice.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Andrew's with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Good day to you, Andy. Just got off the Eurostar at St Pancras here, and my burning thing to phone you about was the closure of Finch Road. And on Friday before travelling away, I had a little peep through the mesh netting, and the road is closed because a sewer needed replacing. A lateral sewer, and the road is closed. The road closure order is till the 11th of August. So I just peered through the meshing to see what was going on.
Yeah.
And yes, they appear to have cut a trench across Finch Road, done some works, backfilled it with gravel chippings, and all that needs to be done from the layperson is needs to be capped with some asphalt. A trench that goes across the road.
Right.
But it's not happening. And what appears to be happening is that the the builder developer religious organization just appears to be using that piece of closed road as a building site so that they can organize all their materials for putting the footings and foundations in for their new church. So why is the general public being inconvenienced to help with this project? And I'm wondering, can somebody from the Department of Infrastructure Highways come on
right.
and actually confirm that nobody in that area is actually a member of this church and is prolonging the road closure at the inconvenience of the public?
And you point. Say all that needs to happen is just that trench needs now to be capped with some asphalt and there's nothing else that needs to be done.
It's about a half metre wide trench, I would say, that just goes directly across Finch Road. And all it needs is asphalt, a tamping down and some asphalt putting on it. Job done.
Until the... And you say
the road is closed until the 11th of August.
11th of August, crikey. Well, we'll try and find out about that. Okay. All right. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Good to hear from you. Hope all goes well with you. We need to sort out the important issues that we have, rather than erecting another statue. Our terrible roads, supporting the farmers, says this correspondent. A statue doesn't enhance our quality of life. Well, I mean, first thing to say, as Charles Gard said, absolutely no public money has gone into the... this new statue, or whether it goes up or not, it's certainly been passed by the planning committee, the statue of King Ori, which will be going at St John's near Timwell Hill. But I have to say, when we're talking about statues, let's face it, Douglas Promenade, certainly Loch Promenade, has been revolutionised by the Bee Gees statue. The number of selfies that must have shot around the world with the Bee Gees, and the number of selfies you find with people taking of George Formby on Ridgeway Street, Norman Wisdom, William Hillary on Douglas Head, T.E. Brown on Prospect Hill. Well, does a statue enhance our quality of life? A week tomorrow on Man in Line, Michelle Hayward, the DOI Minister, is on. Got any questions? Oh, thanks to Chris on the phones today.
WINT.